Greetings. I'm Bill Kladke, and I'd like to welcome you to today's edition of Living in Baltimore. Our guest today is Christopher Dews, who is a policy advocate with the Job Opportunities Task Force. And Christopher is here today to talk to us about the various things that the task force is doing to help put various Baltimoreans to work, and maybe you. So, Christopher, welcome to the show.
Well, hi. Thank you for having me. Once again, my name is Christopher Dews. I'm a policy advocate for the Job Opportunities Task Force. I've been working here for a grand total of a good 3 months now. And for those of you who don't know, Job Opportunities Task Force has one main mission, and that is to advance lower-wage workers into higher-wage positions reforming the systems that basically lock people out of employment, specifically in Baltimore City.
That's wonderful. That's wonderful. How could somebody get more information?
Easily, you can just go to our website, which is rather simply jotf.org. That's jotf.org. You can call me anytime at 301-412-5399. That's 301-412-5399.
Okay, great. Great. And let's see, you've been there 3 months, which means that's long enough to get your feet wet, but not long enough to know where all the bones are buried, right?
Something like that. Yeah. Now, when you're doing session in Annapolis, which is what we do because we do policy advocacy, you're pretty much thrown right in the fire. You have to know all the things that you need to know, like, immediately, you know, because you're going to be asked and questioned about it. And when you're doing policy, you're talking to delegates and senators to push legislation that's going to help Baltimore City residents specifically. Some of the legislation that we're trying to push this session include repeal of the unit rule. The unit rule occurs where if you receive multiple charges, but you plead to the lowest charge, what will happen is the charges, even if you're found not guilty on the charges that you did not plead to, they didn't stay on your record. So imagine if,
so
I don't know.
Criminal charges.
Yeah, criminal charges. So imagine if let's say I'm trespassing or whatever like that, and a cop ends up stopping me, and then I'm like, hey, man, blah, 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 blah. So I end up getting resisting arrest plus trespassing. And then I plead to trespassing to make my life easier because it's an easier charge. Let's say I only have to spend a day in a jail or whatever like that. Well, what ends up happening is that the resisting arrest charge also stays on my record because it's part of a unit of charges. So that can't be expunged off my record. And so when I try to go for a job, and we are the Job Opportunities Task Force, then when people look me up on Case Search, which is how people check for people's records, you end up seeing that he resisted arrest and that he was trespassing. And that makes it much harder for people, specifically depending on your demographics or your environment, to be able to get full-time employment.
That's for certain. So, yeah, that's for certain.
Really big on expungements of records. We also are working to make auto insurance much more affordable. Currently, right now in Baltimore City specifically, you have people that are paying 60 to 100% more for their auto insurance than those in Baltimore County or other surrounding counties and neighborhoods.
That's crazy. Yeah, that's crazy.
The biggest thing is in Baltimore and in the state of Maryland, 50% of Marylanders have to commute to a different county for work.
Right.
And since we also run a training program called Project Jumpstart, and we train people in construction, and every construction position that there is, you're going to need to be able to drive.
Right.
And so what ends up happening is we get a lot of young people who are trying to go to work, people who want to make a change in their lives, but when it comes time to get the car and then get the license, they end up hitting a wall because the auto insurance can be anywhere from $300 to $375 for just liability-only insurance, which people, of course, can't pay, so they just drive without it.
Yeah.
So we're trying to make that much more
affordable.
And then get in huge trouble.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we're trying to make that much more affordable.
That makes sense. That makes sense.
Yeah.
So your job is policy advocate.
Yes.
What are the various things? You've mentioned some of the things that the task force does, and I did advertise this as a way for folks to find out about a job.
Indeed. Yes.
So what specifically does the task force do in that area?
Yeah, well, the task force is broken down into three very specific areas, and that's the policy advocacy side, which is where myself, my director, Karen York, and Darrell Frazier, the other policy advocate, are located. We basically go to Annapolis and we push for legislation that's going to help change the metrics and the landscape for basically people all throughout the state of Maryland. Then there's Project Jumpstart. Now, this is where we do a lot of hiring.
Uh-huh.
Project Jumpstart is a 14-week construction program for any Baltimore City resident who has a GED or high school diploma. And we basically train in carpentry, electrical work, or plumbing, basically hands-on trades. We help you to get your driver's license, get you OSHA certified, and then we put you to work full-time. We also help you to get a vehicle. I think it's $2,500 towards a vehicle purchase.
Wow.
And then we also have case management that helps you to get your license reinstated and things of that nature. So that way, if you are a person who is looking for work and in a higher paying trade, because plumbing, electrical work, carpentry, that those are always going to be in demand.
Yeah.
No matter where you go, you
and
can take
the
skills.
They are certainly
anywhere.
In demand.
By all means. And so that is that's our basically our pre-apprenticeship training program. If anybody's interested in that, our recruiter, who's also a case manager for the program, is named Charles Harper, and his phone number is 410-725-8341. That's 410-725-8341. And as always, if you don't have that number or you didn't catch that during this presentation, you could always just go to jotf.org, which is our website, and look it up. Yeah.
Great, great. What? So how often are the does Project Jumpstart run these trains?
Yeah, Project Jumpstart, if I recall correctly, it's about every 6 weeks.
They have a brand
new class that comes in, and there's two different sections of classes. This is why the start times vary depending on which side of Baltimore you live on. There's one on the west side, and then there's one on the east side, both run by two different case managers, Charles Harper and Lachey Webb. Both wonderful people, still doing construction training, trying to get people full-time employment.
So they're convenient locations, too.
Yes.
And both of them every 6 weeks.
Pretty much, yeah.
Boy, that's great. That's great. Why sit in a job that doesn't pay enough and doesn't help you to support your household? Get trained quickly.
Very true.
Because you're talking, you said 6 week training?
It's a 14-week training program that basically we're recruiting for pretty much every 6 weeks. Yeah, but after the 14 weeks, you'll be trained, you'll be certified, and you can go to work full time. And we help to do placement as well. We have a 70% placement rate. And, it's just about getting people where they need to go.
Wow, that sounds great. That sounds great. And I know that you you mentioned also that you have a program, Train Baltimore?
Train Baltimore, yes. Train Baltimore was basically another workforce development program where we were just simply training city residents and prepping them for full-time employment. Mm-hmm. That pretty much has been absorbed from what I know by Project Jumpstart because we do, as part of Project Jumpstart, which is a construction program, we do soft skills training where, you know, you learn accountability. We talk about interviewing skills and things of that nature.
Right.
So that way when you get out there, it's not just that you have a certification, you also know how to sell yourself in an interview. You know how to conduct yourself on the work site, which I think a lot of people take for granted when you've been in the workforce for a long time. But, everybody needs a little bit of training and soft skills if they're going to make it.
And it is for certain that you can be as skilled as possible, but unless you get along with folks.
Yes.
unless you can get along enough with folks.
Yes, very true.
Your skills are not going to get very far.
Indeed.
Yeah. What a great program. So, I know that you said that you really advocate for a number of different things in Annapolis.
Yes.
And you mentioned a couple of them.
I can repeat them. Our biggest priorities, like I said before, are any legislation that's going to help lower wage workers advance into higher wage jobs. That's kind of a twofold style of policy work. The first half is, of course, pushing for legislation that'll make it easier. The second half is resisting legislation that's going to make life more difficult. So, for example, on the pro side, right now we're pushing legislation, I believe it's House Bill 660, which is going to be a low-cost auto insurance program that allows basically those in Prince George's County or in Baltimore City to be able to apply for just a much lower wage when it comes to – I mean a much lower premium when it comes to their auto insurance, which should make it much, much easier for people to be able to get insurance.
So in other words, not changing the entire structure.
Not changing the entire structure, but just trying to make it more accessible. Because like I said, I mean, specifically in certain areas, especially when it comes to people of color, areas that are predominantly people of color, there's just a lot of systemic barriers. And just imagine, I mean, I was raised in Howard County. And when I moved to Baltimore City, my insurance rates went way up. And I had a good job. I had, you know what I'm saying? And I I had a very responsible driving record, but you have a lot of people, and the way the insurance companies work right now, they can set your rates based off of your residence, your occupation, your credit history, and
That's legal and almost uniform in every
state. Yes, yes, yes. And so, of course, if you're, let's say you're 22 years old and you're trying to get your first position and you need a car to be able to go to work, you don't have a credit history, you're from, let's just say Baltimore City, for example, that zip code, of course, you're going to end up paying an exorbitant amount just for the insurance.
Yeah.
So we're pushing for legislation that's going to make that more reasonable as well,
that
knocking down those
sounds like something that,
non-driving factors.
Yeah, that certainly sounds like, because we're not really talking a lot of people here, you know, I mean, how many would be affected by this?
Oh, well, we're talking about when you say a lot of people, pretty much everybody in Baltimore City. Depends on the zip code, of course, but we're looking at least hundreds of thousands of people that will now have access to affordable insurance. And that's just in Baltimore City. Then you got the massive PG County.
Right.
Where now we're talking about, close to the millions of people that will now have access to affordable insurance. And you got to understand what's happening now is that people are paying it, like they're trying to pay it through the nose. And then when they can't afford it because they have to choose between paying my rent, feeding my children, or paying auto insurance, they just drive without it. And I believe from the Maryland Auto Insurance Fund, Mitch's MAFE, they released a report that said roughly 500,000 people are driving uninsured right now.
500,000
in the state of
uninsured
Maryland.
Uninsured in Maryland.
Are driving uninsured right now. Not because they're just rebels without a cause. They just they can't actually afford it.
500,000.
So, yeah, it's a lot of people, right?
That's that's like what, about 20%?
Yeah, you know, I wish I would have known that number specifically. But yes, it's about 25% of all drivers
now.
Yeah.
If Maryland is 3.5-4 million,
yes,
whatever it
yes.
is, that probably means that
huge number. Yeah.
That probably means wow.
Yeah.
Take
that in for a second. And then imagine if all of this massive group of people just can't go to work. Or when you get stopped, you get fined. You may not have because you couldn't afford the insurance. You don't have the money to pay the fine, and then you end up in jail or incarcerated, and that's what we like to call the criminalization of poverty. Our last area that we study, like I said, Project Jumpstart, which is employment policy, and then we do research. We released a report in 2018 called The Criminalization of Poverty, and this basically dissects multiple areas in which people who just should not be involved in the criminal justice system end up involved in the criminal justice system. And we push legislation that changes that. One of the biggest ones, of course, is mobility, auto insurance rates. You got people that drive who just can't afford auto insurance, so they go without it. Child support is another huge one. We're pushing reforms on that because you have people, it's not about, I don't want to pay. They just don't have the money to support themselves or their families while still paying all this money back to the state. And we want every child to be taken care of, to be clear. But we also need that the people who have to pay child support also have enough money to live on for themselves, because we've seen situations, especially putting people to work in Project Jumpstart, where you've got wage garnishments of 63% of their wages. Now, I ran a training program before I was here for 3 years, and I remember I had one trainee who was making $10 an hour. After 2 weeks of work, which should be $800 at $10 an hour, 40 hours a week, he only brought home $83. Now, imagine if you're working brutally to get, you know, to provide for yourselves and your family, and he has three kids at home, right? And he's only bringing home $83 every 2 weeks. So we're pushing reforms for that to make it
right.
Yeah,
that
yes,
just isn't right. It
and,
just isn't
and,
right.
And
it's not the other part of, and I'm sure you folks got into this, the criminalization of poverty.
Yeah,
is that not only does it make things worse for that current amount of folks. But it makes it worse for the next generation.
Yes.
And it's more expensive for society to deal with it, because when somebody can't keep up with their child support payments and they declare bankruptcy or they jump, you know, and just disappear, the state has to step in.
Yes.
And that household, usually with dependent children.
Yes.
Is the more dependent on the state, and it makes it much more difficult for them to get self-sufficient.
Indeed. And it even goes one little step worse than that, because if somebody is incarcerated, because you can be incarcerated for lack of child support payments, you can lose your driver's license for lack of child support payments.
And then you can't get a job.
Then you can't get a job. And if somebody is incarcerated, right now the way our current law works is that if you are incarcerated and you owe child support, you still have to pay while you're incarcerated. Right. I'd say that again, for at least a good 18 months. So I don't know too many people who can pay while not having employment. And then when they come out of incarceration, now they have an even bigger debt. So this is, you know, we call that the criminalization of fines and fees. And those are the types of legislation that we're trying to make not as painful to Maryland residents.
That's wonderful. Unfortunately, though, we're out of time. I want to thank our guest, Mr. Christopher Dews, who is a policy advocate for the Job Opportunities Task Force, for being our guest today. Thank you, Christopher.
Thank you for your
time. Keep up your good work for all of us.
I will try.
And for living in Baltimore, I want to thank you for tuning in. Let's try to be a good neighbor out there in all of our neighborhoods, and we'll see you next time.